In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a continuity between last week's reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians and today's reading. Last week, the highlighted passage was, and I say the highlighted passage thinking of my own habit in reading, where a section is highlighted and then a section is skipped and another section is highlighted. Our readings are like that because there is a gap between the end of the reading for last week from this letter and the beginning of this reading. It highlights the development, the movement of a particular focus of the message in this part of the letter. Last week we heard from this letter of St. Paul, the same God that commanded light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts. The same light that shone out of darkness, the light of God that created the world in the beginning, is the same light that has shone in our hearts. And we remember the participation of the Son of God along with the Father. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit said, "Let us create." And they created the heavens and the earth. Jesus, the Christ, is the incarnate, eternal Son of God. And the light that shines in our hearts, if it shines in our hearts, if we are truly Christians, if we die to ourselves, and if we receive the divine light of Christ in our hearts, then that light is the same light that shone out of darkness in the beginning. And it is now the light of our knowledge of God. Not simply the light that created the world and ourselves, but a light that gives us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then St. Paul said, "But we have this light in earthen vessels." And between last week's reading and this week's reading, there are a few other significant things that Paul says. He says this: we deal with unseen things, not with seen things. Christ God came into the world and he made things as they were meant to be from the beginning. He saved the world and he saved humanity. The world and our humanity has been saved. It is for us to participate in and appropriate that salvation ourselves as individual persons. That's true. But this is the same salvation for all of us, and it has been accomplished. And God didn't come into the world and save the world according to the way of human understanding that focuses on the world. Oftentimes we disagree with what God did. The West has an idea that salvation is only paying a debt so that we don't go to hell, but that the world still in its broken condition, we now have the social gospel message to go out and make the world the way it's supposed to be using human power. Use politics. Use building up according to our own genius to make things as they should be, because obviously the world is broken. And we ignore the fact that Christ came into the world and he turned his back on all of those things because his object was to change the world from within human beings. He has saved the world. He has saved our humanity. If we choose to turn again, as the first Adam did, toward the world, and believe that that is where our work needs to take place instead of inside of ourselves, then we've missed the whole point of the Christian message. Sometimes people say in the midst of their lives, "I wonder what God wants me to do now. Let me pray. Let me consider." And they pray and they consider. And they say, "Now I know what God wants me to do. He wants me to do this. He wants me to buy this or go in this place or go to that school or go to that place and do something in the world." That's never what God wants us to do. We have spent that time figuring out what we wanted to do. And now we think it's the will of God. And we go and we do it. And where is the will of God in that? The will of God comes about in how we go about doing whatever it is that we ourselves have decided to do, whatever we've decided to fix in the world. God still is there waiting to deal with us within ourselves, whatever we decide to do in terms of the world. But in the Christian faith, according to how God has saved the world and us, what we have to deal with is ourselves, not with the world. He has dealt with the world. We can't make the world the way it's supposed to be. He has done that from inside, and especially from inside of us as human beings. And also, Paul has added, between last reading and this, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. What is that new creation? That new creation is a Christian. Someone who, as we said last week, is body, soul, and that earthen vessel receives the Holy Spirit. That is a new creation. Before we were body, soul, and our own spirit that we trusted in. Now we are body, soul, and the Holy Spirit of God. As Irenaeus says, that is what a human being is created to be. We cannot be fully human without the Holy Spirit of God within us. We did not have access directly to the Holy Spirit of God. Christ came into the world, trampled down death, which was the enemy, and kept us from having direct access to living from God's own divine life. The Holy Spirit descended upon the church, and the life of the church is the life of an earthen vessel filled with the Holy Spirit. And each one of us has to appropriate that salvation for ourselves. St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians is about how we must change in order to be Christ's. In order to be Christ's in two senses. In order to belong to Christ, and in order to be Christophorus, in order to be little Christs that are Christ bearers, where we have died, as he died on the cross, and as he arose from the dead, we arise from the death of our self-love and our orientation toward the world and trying to treat the world as though our salvation is in the things that we do in the world. We die from that deadness and we arise in Christ as new creatures. St. Paul this week begins by saying you are fellow workers with God. If all these things have taken place, if we are Christians, then we are fellow workers with God. We can't simply, and as Orthodox, nothing is ever taken out of context. If we take things out of context, then we're simply not reading Scripture in an Orthodox way. And so we're making the effort this morning to make sure that we don't take these passages out of context. I have been with Protestant groups, good, pious people, Quakers and others, who believe that the divine light lives inside of a human being, and you quiet yourself and you try to find that divine light. But they have taken something out of context. We are not born with this divine light in us. We are earthen vessels. We must call upon God to enliven us from within. We must call upon this light of Christ. That is not our light, doesn't belong to us, it is God himself, to come into our hearts and do the spiritual battle necessary to die to ourselves and to stop listening to the spirit of our own voice and our own ego, to die to ourselves so that we can be fellow workers with God. In my 30s, before my conversion to Christianity, and I say conversion to Christianity because I was not at first a Christian. First, I accepted Christianity. Then I went to look for the true faith and found Orthodoxy. But I found out about Orthodoxy and synergy, and I was still Western-minded enough to think that synergy might mean God cooperating with me. Of course, that's not the case. Synergy is me cooperating with God, my will cooperating with his will. A world-famous Orthodox teacher, David Bradshaw, who teaches at the University of Kentucky, has said that Orthodoxy can be stated in one word. Of course, you have to understand that word, but at least we know what the word is. Synergy. Synergy. cooperation between our human will and God's divine will within us. And that has been made possible because death has been trampled down and its domination over us has been destroyed if we are willing to die to ourselves. If we're not, then forget it. Christianity is a closed door for us. We can observe all of the outside aspects of the Christian faith, but if that is not the case within us, then we are not Christians. What's different between Eastern Christianity, Orthodox Christianity, the fullness of the Christian faith, and the West is this, that we can, Christ has made it possible, cooperate with God, and we must cooperate with God in order to make our life a living out of our salvation. That's what's different. The unseen warfare is between my will and God's will. Jesus Christ, we say, had two wills, one person, a human will and a divine will. And there was no contest, no conflict between the two, not in him. There was no sin, and so there was no conflict. He did the will of God as one person. It's not the same in us. Our will struggles against God's will, and oftentimes we think that our will is God's will. And the demons are always on the side of my will, always encouraging me, never encouraging me to die to myself. They are always on the side of my lone will, my will without God's will. It takes a long time in Christian life to be able to begin to distinguish between my will and God's will. And people have this strange idea of God's will. What is God's will for me? What does God want me to do? God's will for us as human beings is always the same. Die to yourself, make your will subservient to, humble before his will, and then you will be able to act at one with him, in synergy with him. And it won't be up to your will having to decide, shall I do this or shall I do that? Because that conflict will have gone away. Now, it's not a once and done sort of thing. We do have to engage in spiritual warfare in order to even have a glimpse of that relationship to God. But God died on the cross in order to make that humility of human will to divine will possible for us, because we no longer need to fear death. Salvation is a free gift from God, but it requires my cooperation. And why is that? Why does God do it that way? Because God will not violate the free will of man. You will have the freedom of your will. You will have the freedom to decide what I want is what God wants, and the demons will applaud. It is our freedom. But we only think like that and live like that when God is second, a mystery that is beyond us. Who knows what he wants? We can always know what he wants if we are willing to die to ourselves and humble our will. And if that is how we live, then Paul says, you can be synergia with God. You can cooperate with God. You can be the particular person that is living a divine life as you, that particular person, is meant to be. St. Nicholas Kabasalos was a friend of St. Gregory Palamas, and he gave a classic example of synergy. He said this, "The incarnation of the Word, Jesus Christ, was not only the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it was also the work of the will and faith of the Virgin. Let thy will be done. Without the three divine persons, this saving life could not have been conceived in a human being. But God's plan could not have been carried into effect without consent and faith of the Virgin. And this is how it is for each one of us. This is why we call upon the Theotokos, because in order to live as Christians, we must do as she did, and our will must cooperate with the will of God in humility. God receives from her, the Theotokos, the flesh she consciously wills to offer him, Cabeselus says. We are to do the same. We are to offer to God our body, our soul, and act in his spirit. And there is never conflict, because God is God. God doesn't have to decide what to do. He will inform our body and our soul, and all of the things that prevent us from acting in a holy way will be moved aside. Like Moses moving aside the waters to walk across on the dry land. The Son of God was conceived by his own free choice, and in the same way, the Theotokos became his mother, voluntarily and with her free consent. God will not impose his will upon us, but his will is our life. Following his will freely, to love God and to love what is good, really true, and really noble, not noble in our own egotistical imagination, but truly noble, truly good, we are able to act together with that ultimate goodness that is God, voluntarily, intimately, just as the Theotokos did in the conception and birth of our Lord. We must give our bodies and our souls to God as she did. We must become his means of acting through us, the particular person that we are, in our particular time and place. That's how we participate in the life of the saints. We may be out at the edges of the communion of saints, but we all participate in the same way. We don't have to be so worldly oriented as we think that the will of God is that I do this or that thing as our way of acting in the world. That isn't our calling. That way of thinking has fallen completely into a secularist, individualist way of thinking. It has nothing to do with the gospel. It has nothing to do with God. If we have found a way to stand even here in pride and self-affirmation, having found our identity, then communion and confession will not change us. We will remain as we were. We will not be able to act in synergy with God. And we will live in confusion and self-affirmation. Do we come to communion and confession in humility to offer ourselves up to God? As we've often said, when we bring in the paten, the particles on the paten, one of those particles is our offering of ourselves. The other particles are the offering of the saints across time and space. And we offer ourselves along with them. We come here to offer ourselves, not to affirm ourselves in pride and to feel like as Orthodox we're better than all of the rest of those churches. We come here to offer ourselves in humility. Sometimes we come to the chalice and we receive in such a way that we believe that we are somehow affirming ourselves, giving life to ourselves so that we can go out in the world and live as that unique individualist that we are so proud of. That we are recharging our spiritual batteries so that we can go out and live my life in the world as I please, as I choose, with the affirmation of God behind us. Jesus would say, your father is the devil, if that's how you're living. God makes himself available in these mysteries, the mystery of communion, the mystery of confession. But we fail to see God's divine liturgy as what it is. We fail to participate in it fully. We fail to take God's divine liturgy into the world and live as his Christians, Christophorus, bearing his life into the world to share it with others, not to condemn them, not to build ourselves up in our lives in the world, not to make a separation between our secular, that means outside the temple, everyday lives in the world, and how we are when we come to church, so humble, but not when we're out in the world, we're like everybody else. The divine liturgy is an active event of synergia, an active event of cooperation with God, an active event of becoming more and more someone who abandons our self-love and joins ourselves to God in intimate cooperation so that we can receive his body and his blood as our communion with him. We take the kingdom of God for granted, as though it is something that we are obviously already inside of, a place where we already belong. We don't prepare for it. The evening before, we don't prepare for it. During the week, we don't prepare to come to communion next time. We come as it is convenient to our secular lives. If there's nothing else that we have to do, maybe we'll come to Vespers. Vespers isn't a preparation for the Divine Liturgy, if that's our spirit in coming. We split our lives into sacred and secular. And the secular life, the life outside of the temple, the profane life, is our standard. And we come to the church and we receive that which we think will help us in our worldly life. And we know nothing of Christ, because that isn't a Christian understanding of our relationship to God or his sacraments. We imagine things on our own terms, and we only consent to do what we imagine is enough, what we understand. If we don't understand it, it must not be important, because I am the standard, my understanding, my beliefs are the standard. That is not the reality of Christ. We don't understand Christ. We don't understand God. We have to die to ourselves and participate in a life that is beyond ours, in order to be fulfilled, in order to live a life of salvation. We can't walk our own way, demand our own way, and walk the path of salvation at the same time. We can't walk through purification and illumination toward divinization on those kinds of terms. And we never do it alone. When we hear these terms as Western individualists, we think, I will purify myself, I will be illumined, and I will be divinized. And that's all wrong. Take out the I. We forget the I. The persons that God created, whoever we are, that person does these things along with all the others, not as an isolated individual, not on the basis of their own will. Because after all, our will has to be abandoned for the sake of the will of God, in order for us to purify ourselves, in order for us to be able to begin to see the world as it truly is, and participate in the divinization of all of the saints together. It is never my divinization all by myself. That too is blasphemy, the way of the enemy. In me, my will and God's will are not the same, and it's the same with all of us. In us as Christians, young in spirit, we might say, still beginning, there are two wills, as there always are, but God's will is ever contested in us. That's the spiritual warfare. Because we are young in the spirit and inexperienced, however old we may be, there is always a contest between my will and God's will. In Christ, there is no contest between his human will and his divine will. The freedom of our human will is hidden in God's divine will, where we are able to be the human beings that God created us to be as individual persons. Further on in St. Paul's letter, he will finally speak about the spiritual warfare directly, the spiritual warfare that is necessary in order for us to live this life of salvation actively, so that all of our days and hours in the world are infused with divine and holy meaning. He will speak of that. But today's word from St. Paul is to work with him, Jesus Christ, in ourselves. And he says, now is always the time. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Every minute, every hour, every day is a time of salvation. And when we leave the Divine Liturgy filled with the physical presence of Christ God, we go into the world in order to live actively this life of our salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.